Hello, everybody. Welcome to a new episode of Tech Can Save Us podcast brought to you by Literal Humans. As always, I am Paul David, your host, also founder and CEO of Literal Humans. And we're joined today by Heidi Kujawa, founder and CEO of Bifusion, who is going to talk to us about turning plastic waste into building blocks and growing as an innovative manufacturing company. Welcome to the pod, Heidi.
Thank you. It's great to start the day with a conversation with you, Paul.
Yeah, it's early for you. You're on the West Coast, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, thanks for taking the an early call. By way of introduction, Bifusion is an innovative manufacturing company that's literally reshaping the future of plastic waste by converting all types of plastic into high-performing building materials called Biblocks. We'll get into that a bit more. As a public benefit corporation, they're on a mission to help clean up the planet while enabling communities to keep pace with increasing housing and infrastructure needs, both really hot topics these days. Heidi brings a fascinating blend of corporate experience and entrepreneurial drive to this specific challenge. Before founding Bifusion in 2017, she held executive roles at major entertainment companies like Sony Pictures and Paramount. She's also passionate about mission-driven companies that care for people and the planet, just like us here at Literal Humans. And yeah, we're excited to kind of talk about that. It's always nice to meet people who have a vision and mission that's aligned. And lastly, since their founding, Bifusion has developed their patent-pending landfill diversion platform that can consistently convert plastic waste into Biblocks, creating local jobs and revitalizing communities. Heidi, welcome to the pod.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Let's jump right in. Would love you to just paint the picture for our audience about, you know, the plastic waste crisis that's upon us and how exactly Bifusion fits into that broader, you know, recycling and sustainability landscape.
You know, Paul, it's interesting because when you think about it, plastic is one of the most complex challenges of our time. And the scale of the issue is really, it's really hard to comprehend. So to try to get why we are here and why we're in this mess, I think it's really important to understand the material itself. I mean, plastic in many ways is a miracle material. It's cheap to manufacture, it's lightweight, it's durable, and it's built to last. But those very qualities are what have helped create this massive compounding environmental crisis. I mean, we're producing over 400 million tons of it every year, and that number is actually projected to triple by 2060. There's a number of reasons why, but we'll get into that, I'm sure, in the conversation. And I know everybody does their part with the blue bin, but the sobering reality is that, you know, as you mentioned, like only 9% gets recycled annually. And it isn't because people are lazy or they don't care. It's because the system's fundamentally flawed in a couple different ways. I mean, first, there's a massive collection problem. I mean, even in the U.S., it's estimated that just over half of American households even have access to curbside recycling. I mean, imagine that. We're an industrialized nation. It's nuts. I think the second thing that makes it a big challenge is that not all plastics created equally. I mean, we always see the numbers 1 through 7 on plastic, if you're lucky. But our recycling systems were only really designed to handle those two types, not all 7, which are mostly our soda bottles and our milk jugs and our food-related products and everything else, the films, the wraps, the bags, the tags, the containers, the other containers. Those were never meant to be a part of the system. Most of that's considered contamination. And that's really some of the biggest challenges why we're here.
So I'd love to like dig in a little bit more and kind of understand, you know, a bit more about how the Biblocks work and you know, just what makes them superior to traditional building materials and why you decided to go in that particular direction.
Well, there's a couple of reasons why. First of all, in addition to my tech background, I also was a former real estate developer. So I love construction and building things. And one of the things that I struggled with as a developer was that I always wanted to build sustainably, but it was always either too expensive or if I found a product that I liked, I couldn't find anybody who knew how to install it. So I kind of like parked that in the back of my brain and went on with my tech career and continued building the way I built. So when we started talking about plastic waste problem, I sat back and thought, well, let's dive into this a little bit more. So we designed Biblock to help solve for some of the challenges I saw in the construction industry. We designed it to be one of the most versatile building materials on the planet. And these tried and tested alternatives to hollow cement blocks and 2x4s are made entirely of non-recyclable plastic waste. And we don't use any additives or fillers in it. So we're able to produce them using 83% less CO2 than traditional hollow cement blocks. But yeah, it's a really simple, it's a simple building material. And the thing that's great about it is we've really leveraged all of the advantages of plastics that I mentioned. It's, you know, it's already made. So we're not changing the chemical composition of the material that was built to last. That is durable. It is lightweight. So we're literally not recycling the plastic. We're actually repurposing that plastic waste into something more.
And are there like specific properties that make BiBlocks appealing to builders and developers?
I think there's a couple things. One, more and more people are looking to build sustainably. I mean, as we're finding out, our buildings account for about 37% of global emissions. So everybody's trying to find a sustainable alternative. They're also, the other thing I think that, so we hit that squarely on the head. I mean, we're 100% repurposed. There's no disputing what we are. There's no greenwashing involved. When you look at a BiBlock, you know exactly what you're holding. And that's kind of like the sweet spot of our technology and our process, is that we don't melt the plastic. You can still see everything that goes into that block. But I think the other thing is that it is lightweight. So it's about 14 pounds lighter than a traditional hollow block, which means more people can use it. It doesn't, easier to handle. So it doesn't like not only break your back, but also doesn't rip your hands apart. So there's that. And because we don't require any glues, mortars, or adhesives when you build with it, we use a post-tensioning method, or we recommend a post-tensioning method. You can build super fast.
And in terms of comparing it to what's happening in the sector right now, concrete blocks or other traditional materials, in terms of like performance, cost, like environmental impact, like do you kind of lay that out? Like how do you sort of make the case when it comes to how these blocks actually operate?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty compelling because the differences are very easy to see, especially when it comes to the building method and how quickly our walls can go up in comparison to. There's a lot of calculators and information on the internet and masonry people out there. You have to know what you're doing to build with cement. Where in contrast, we built BiBlock so that anybody can build with it. I can teach you how to build a wall in about 30 seconds. So that's really the big difference, is that it enables, in construction, it's about time and cost. And those things really equal each other, right? So you got to get the job fast. And 9 times out of 10, well, we're seeing tariff impacts, obviously, on building materials, but 9 times out of 10, the costs rise because increased labor and increased building materials. So it's pretty interesting. So we're able to produce a building material out of material that is readily available and anybody can build with.
And are there certain types of construction projects that are best suited for the use of BiBlocks?
We've structured BiBlock to fall within a Type 5 construction category. So we stand very, very much in the same category as wood construction. So it's a very wide, I always love when people say, what can you build with it? And I'm like, well, what can you build with a 2x4? I mean, it's a material that actually has very specific properties. So we can range anywhere from roadway construction, landscaping projects, screen walls, utility structures, to single family homes and commercial applications. Where we sit from a category in the building code is, it's a very wide category, and that's where we wanted to be. So I'm excited about that.
That's great. And obviously, we'd be remiss to not ask you this following question about growth strategy. We're a growth strategy agency. So yeah, like what's your strategy for scaling BiFusion, and you know, how's the rest of the year looking into 2026 looking?
Yeah, I mean, one thing that was really important is when we went through R&D, we've started to hear and see this compounding, you know, echo in the stratosphere, right? Everybody was struggling with this plastic waste. It didn't matter if you were an industrialized nation or an emerging market. It didn't matter. Everyone is struggling with this plastic. And so it was really important to us that we built a system and a technology that could scale quickly and could be agile. So our mission and our vision is that every community around the world has access to our capabilities so they can take control of their plastic waste and convert it into something useful for local consumption. And that's really what it is. So the way that we think about scale and growth is two methods. Obviously, there are some markets where it makes sense where we do a traditional land and expand, where we're coming in and providing a service to a community. But in other ways, there's enough plastic mass in some markets where it makes sense to license our technology and our partners can get added benefits of cost reductions and operational savings and things like that. So we really are focused on the mission, and we'll do whatever we need to get there.
That's great. And then we'd love to understand just about like audience is such a crucial part of any growth strategy, and give us a sense of like kind of what it looks like. You know, are there licensing considerations, like, you know, size and scale of facilities? Want to just kind of understand how you're really investing in particular audience types as you grow.
Yeah, I mean, we really focus on two big segments. One is municipal. Obviously, the government plays a big part of this. The local governments play a big part. And then corporations. A lot of people don't realize, like, your taxpayer dollars go to solid waste management. I mean, it is a city service. Some cities take and embrace that. City workers and city fleets are the ones who are picking up your stuff at curbside. Some cities even own the landfill. They own the entire soup to nuts. And they work, and city workers manage that life cycle. And then there were other cities who are like, this is too big. I'm going to give it to one of the big guys like Republic or Waste Management to handle for us. And they do everything. So it's kind of similar in the tech space. You know, you either insource or outsource. Same kind of method. It goes with the solid waste management practices within municipal governments. And then, of course, there's a sweet spot where some governments kind of play in the middle, where there's a co-source type of model. So it's important that we help those corporations or those cities you know, where it makes sense, where we can. And then corporations obviously are struggling to keep up with corporate with their waste as well. A lot of people don't realize that, you know, if they're the blue bin in the recycling world is really designed for just a couple types of plastic, like I had mentioned. And so if you don't have that, or you have something outside of what they want, then you're kind of on your own. And some corporations struggle with keeping some of their plastic waste out of landfill. So we can help them on that side too.
Makes sense. We'd love to dig a bit more into kind of your background. We'd like to hear about, you know, founders themselves and what's led them to this part of their journey. I know your career has spanned cybersecurity at major entertainment companies and even into sustainable manufacturing. So what drove you to make this particular career pivot? Like, how did you first become aware of this plastic waste crisis and realize that there was a business opportunity here?
Yeah, I mean, I love it when people ask me that, because it wasn't a huge leap. I was always drawn to solving hard problems, and cybersecurity certainly is also a very complex problem. And it was a very fascinating journey to help corporations and companies kind of work their way through it. But when you boil it down, it's all about risk management. And so is this. To me, it wasn't a huge leap. It was just a natural progression. I'm a curious person. And so I'm always like, well, what's that? How can we help make that better? So it was kind of like, not that I solved cybersecurity, don't get me wrong. I got a good handle on it and I was able to do some great things. But this plastic thing sparked that thing that I parked in the back of my head when I was on the job site of my own projects wanting to build sustainably. And I was like, wait, this could be something big and something that could be really important, big, valuable work for the planet. And so I was just naturally drawn to that. But I really look like it's risk management.
Yeah. And that's what I wanted to kind of dig into there. Like, you've worked in compliance and risk management, and it seems like there's some surprising relevance to running a sustainability focused startup. And you've built teams and like led, you know, folks through change in large corporations. So like, how did all of that prepare you to kind of found Bifusion and grow it, you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think my time in the corporate world was an invaluable training ground. I was fortunate enough to work in some very large companies, and I learned how to work in highly matrix environments and team structures, and navigating complex stakeholder environments and driving transformational change through very calculated, strategic, sometimes grassroots efforts. And I think that in itself, you know, taught me not only about how to work with a whole bunch of different people and different cultures, but also how to be patient. I mean, so often we see new technologies being crammed down people's throats, and that resistance is so awful and uncomfortable and oftentimes doesn't work. And I've realized that in the corporate world, you know, like, let's solve the problem. Let's not use technology to create a problem that we were then going to solve. And so I think that just being exposed to those different cultures really helped.
Yeah. Yeah. I've definitely felt that as someone who's built an agency that's got, you know, a lot of a big diverse team, and like navigating, you know, the different cultural backgrounds that folks are bringing to it, I think is really, really important.
Yeah.
And doing that, you know, gently and but firmly as a leader. So thanks for sharing that. Yeah. I want to move us now into some quick fire questions. We call this kind of our lightning round, this opportunity for folks to kind of get to know you a little bit more personally, but also just fun, interesting ones. If you could, first one, if you could found another tech startup, let's just say ByFusion smashes it and you've got all this money to invest and you want to start another startup, what would it be and why?
I mean, I think the likely would be water conservation and purification. I mean, I'm obsessed with it. Even in our own process, we do whatever we can to protect and preserve that resource. So definitely something to do with water.
Yeah, it's a huge, huge topic right now. So relatedly, what tech invention makes you most excited right now?
Material sciences, still. I mean, I think that, continued development about what we use every day and where and what preserves our food. That's the stuff that makes it's very exciting. And I think that there's some new materials that we haven't even scratched the surface on. I think this is an industry that is ripe for innovation and is going to be really interesting to see how it happens. See what happens there.
Definitely. And then flip side of that question, what's the technology that makes you most concerned right now?
Social media. It's one of those double-edged swords. I think the spread of misinformation is just so frightening. I mean, in the sustainability space, yes, but just in society overall, I mean, I think that's the stuff that definitely makes me the most concerned.
I just watched Mountainhead, new movie the other
day. Oh my God, yes.
Have you seen it? Yeah, okay.
I had to turn it off actually, because I was like, yeah. Oh, I can't do that.
It's very stressful, I guess. Yeah.
Very stressful.
As someone who's a founder in tech, you're like, oh gosh, it really like makes you think like, what is at our feet? Oh, I mean, it's more social media companies, but like,
yeah.
You know, what are we responsible for? You know, when our tech gets
out of
hand.
What are we responsible for? And I just think too, like, I think our governments failed us. I mean, there's just that fine line they just weren't willing to stand on around, you know, freedom of speech and regulation. I mean, like, yeah.
And it's transnational, you know,
it's like
the Australian government can rule that, you know, they're not going to have social media for folks 16 and under, but like, how can they really truly ring fence, you know, the country and those people?
Yeah,
it's interesting. Who's a literal human who's been integral to your career journey that you want to shout out?
I mean, I think it goes back to my grandfather was probably the most influential. Richard Knisley, he was a huge influence on my life. He was an inventor. He was the one who gave me permission as a little girl to just be curious. He instilled a love of tinkering and problem solving and the core belief that any problem can be solved with just enough ingenuity and determination and perseverance. That's been really, I think his teachings have been the bedrock to everything I've done.
Amazing. Love when people shout out family members who have like shaped their journey. It's always nice to hear that. And then what's an inspirational quote that stuck with you through your journey in tech?
I mean, there's a couple, but I think the one that I always fall back on, because, you know, we're never always quite done, right, Paul? You're always thinking, growing, learning, innovating, and the roadblocks are real and often. So the one that I think that comes back to me the most is what Thomas Edison said is, I've not failed. I just found 10,000 ways that it won't work.
Yeah, exactly. So. And how much like growth and innovation is born out of those, you know, those failures, those trials.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, that's
absolutely
a great one. Well, this has been a really inspiring conversation, Heidi. I really appreciate your time. I think you're proving with ByFusion that, you know, we can turn like what we feel is a massive environmental challenge into a solution, you know, for another challenge. And, you know, we do need sustainable building materials. So I think what you're doing is so simple and brilliant. And those are the best tech innovations, I feel like, the simple, brilliant ones. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Where can folks find out more if they want to learn about ByFusion, ByBlocks, and, you know, where can they dig into to the movement that you're leading?
You can check us out at our website, byfusion.com. There's a lot of information there about ByBlock and the systems, the building systems that we create. Yeah, and there's some nice resources there about Block and, you know, the structural aspects of it and some of the engineering data that one might be curious about. So check us out on the website.
Amazing. Cool. And thanks everybody for listening. This has been another great episode of Tech Can't Save Us podcast brought to you by Literal Humans. We are joined today by Hadi Kajawa, founder and CEO of Bifusion. We talked about turning plastic waste into building blocks for sustainable materials, sustainable growth. And as always, leave a review. And please, you know, if you enjoyed this podcast, give us a 5-star rating so we can keep bringing amazing change makers like Hadi, who are literally building a better future. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Hadi.
Thank you.